Welcome to the University of New Hampshire School of Law podcast, where our professors give legal insight on important news topics. Learn more about the law school at law.unh.edu. Today's guest is Professor Michael McCann, Associate Dean of Academic Affairs, who specializes in sports law. We'll be discussing the recent controversy around former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Can you briefly explain what led to the recent grievance of collusion?
Sure, AJ, and thanks for having me on. So the collusion grievance brought by Kaepernick stems from his decision a couple of years ago while he played for the San Francisco 49ers to kneel during the playing of the national anthem. So in the NFL, since 2009, the national anthem has been played before games while players are on the field. Prior to 2009, the anthem was played while players were in the locker room. But as part of an arrangement with the armed services and other sponsors, the NFL decided to shift gears to have players be on the field while the anthem is played. It didn't generate any real controversy until Kaepernick decided to kneel during the playing of the anthem, and that sparked a debate about whether players should stand for the anthem, whether they have the right to kneel, and why was he kneeling. And as he later explained, he argued that this was about his protest to the treatment of African Americans by law enforcement, among other social causes that he identified, and that this was his way of engaging in peaceful protest that people would notice. And of course, it worked. People really were drawn to his decision to kneel. Obviously, some were upset by it, some were supportive of it, but that's really how it stems. And from there, Kaepernick played out the remainder of the season with the 49ers. He then became a free agent. And while a free agent, no teams offered him a job. And although he's not nearly at the level of Tom Brady, he's still, many would say, a capable, maybe very good, perhaps, quarterback in the NFL, depending upon how you want to look at the metrics. And different stats give different conclusions. But clearly a good quarterback, and many would say a starting quarterback in the league. No team has expressed interest. So that led him to think that something was afoot, that maybe teams had joined hands to prevent him from playing. And that gets at the idea of collusion, which is what his grievance is about. He argues that, and this is the legal test for collusion in the NFL, is two or more teams conspiring to deny a player of a collectively bargained right, or the NFL and at least one team doing so. So the idea is that teams have somehow colluded to decide not to have him play in the league, not offering him a contract, advocating that he not be signed. Whether there's evidence of this, we'll find out. There's certainly his lawyers have noted that President Trump has enunciated strong disapproval of Kaepernick kneeling, and his lawyers believe that disapproval was internalized by owners, that they ended up saying, look, we don't want to get on the president's bad side. Let's make sure Colin Kaepernick isn't in the league. Whether there's evidence of that, we don't know. But that's the gist of it. Yeah.
So the collusion is the collusion an existing rule with the NFL that they can't do that?
Yep. There's an anti-collusion provision, Article 17 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement. So it's a labor agreement between the league and the players' union. And the league is forbidden from colluding against players in a way that deprives them of a collectively bargained right. Here, that right is the right to play for a team.
How on earth would he get evidence of that?
So
hard.
Yeah, it is hard. Although collusion has come up before, and baseball players were able to prove collusion, that there was enough evidence during owners' meetings, and owners, of course, take minutes and things like that. So sometimes there's a trail that they, and in baseball, it was owners saying, let's not bid for each other's free agents because they make so much money as free agents. So you had players having great years, then they became free agents, and then nobody wanted them. Something was weird, right? But it is hard. Barry Bonds brought a collusion grievance several years ago, arguing that no baseball teams wanted to sign him. He wasn't able to prove that there was any evidence of it. So Kaepernick will need something. Maybe it's a text message. Maybe it's an email. Maybe it's a witness statement. Maybe an owner. And his lawyers have deposed a number of NFL owners and other executives to talk to them about what were your communications with persons outside of your organization regarding Colin Kaepernick. And we don't know if something's there. But if an owner says, yeah, I talked to another owner and said, you know, it's not a good idea that we have Kaepernick, that would be evidence.
He would really need some evidence in order to prove his case.
Yeah, and the standard is a clear showing of evidence. So it has to be something material. It has to be convincing that this occurred. And the process by which owners are deposed, you never know what someone's going to say when they're under oath, because now they're suddenly, you can't lie, right? If you lie, then you could be charged with perjury, conceivably. So it will be interesting to see if he has evidence. And if it only turns out that each team decided they didn't want him, and let's say each team decided they didn't want him because they disagreed with his politics, that's not collusion. Collusion requires a joint activity between teams. It can't just be one team saying, we don't want him because of the national anthem and his protests. That could be other legal things, potentially discrimination and civil rights, but that's not what the grievance is about. The grievance is about collusion.
Yeah, added layer recently was the White House visit that the White House canceled for the Eagles. Can you describe how that, he was saying this could help his case.
Right. So President Trump invited the Philadelphia Eagles because they won the Super Bowl. They beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And it's customary for the White House to invite the championship team to come to the event. It's been going on since the 1920s. It's convention. And here, from what we understand, President Trump was concerned about the low number of players on the Eagles that were willing to go to the White House to partake in an event. The president gave sort of multiple reasons for his sudden cancellation of an invitation. It was on the eve of the event. The written statement alluded to his opposition to players kneeling. So that, the lawyers for Kaepernick can argue, is to say, look, here you have an NFL team being embarrassed, being punished because of the president's perception that Eagles players are kneeling. Now, it turns out that Eagles players weren't kneeling. So there's a factual issue there. But setting that aside, the argument is that here is the influence of the president, that the president cares so much about this issue that he's willing to, at the last second, disinvite a team after they're maybe already arrived in D.C. or at least made arrangements to go there. And although maybe the president was upset with the players, there are a lot of staff and other team officials that might have enjoyed the White House visit that have nothing to do with the national anthem controversy. So Kaepernick's lawyers could argue this is evidence that teams are being punished by the president. Of course, teams are worried about the president's potential for punishing and that he obviously has a lot of influence. And the president has spoken quite a bit about his opposition to certain tax breaks that NFL teams get on their stadium deals. And they worry that maybe he'll advocate for legislative change that takes away those breaks.
Seems like that would cause the NFL to lock down a lot more.
Yeah, and look, the president can send a tweet out that affects stock prices, right? Yeah. I mean, he has enormous, immeasurable influence. And he, unlike other presidents, he certainly used social media in a way to advocate for change, whether people like the change or not like it. But he's impactful. So from the standpoint of an owner, the owner could say, we don't want to get on the president's bad side.
So impactful that they recently changed where players should or have been asked to stay in the locker room during the anthem instead of taking a knee.
That's exactly right. So impactful that the NFL changed its rule without the assent of the union, which could present a labor law issue. But yes, the NFL has decided to change the national anthem rule so that players who elect to go onto the field must stand or their team can be punished. And teams can then individually punish those players. Now, players can stay in the locker room while the anthem is played. They don't have to go onto the field. And in theory, they could, in the locker room, kneel during the playing of the anthem. But of course, that wouldn't be the symbolic gesture, right? The whole thing is to send some kind of message, whether people love it or hate it. It's the idea of symbolism. So we'll see. We'll see if teams actually, we'll see if the NFL punishes teams and whether teams punish players. In either case, there could be legal issues.
Thank you for listening to the show. Go to law.unh.edu to learn more about the law school and be sure to keep up with us by following UNH Law on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And where can people read more of your articles?
I mainly write for online for Sports Illustrated. I also will have occasional magazine articles in Sports Illustrated, so si.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.